Welcome to the College Football Bros, the podcast that's moving up in the world. And now, here are your hosts, Michael, Ryan, and Trey Newman.
Welcome to the College Football Bros podcast. I am Michael Newman, and I'm joined by the brother who reportedly turned down an offer to coach UCLA basketball.
Oh, I certainly did. It's a tough choice, but that's me, Ryan Newman.
You and many others.
Yep.
I'm also joined by the other brother who last year turned down an offer to coach Tennessee football.
That's true. That's me, Trey Newman.
All right. On today's episode, we are going to play a college football themed game of Would You Rather, which I think is going to be really fun. We've got some tough questions to go through.
Yep.
But we have some stuff to get to before that. So first, we have some breaking podcast news. We are no longer independent.
Hey.
We're not Notre Dame anymore. Yeah, we have joined a conference, you might say. We are now part of Ross Tucker Media, which is really exciting for us. Ross Tucker, as I'm sure almost all the listeners know, former NFL player, now a color commentator, a podcaster, radio
person. Everything now.
Does everything. He writes for The Athletic. That's not a joke. he does it all.
Yeah, he does. He really does. He's awesome.
And so he thought our podcast would be a good fit for his family of podcasts. So here we are.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty exciting for us.
Very cool. And his only condition, which was the best part, was that Ryan had to be kicked off the show. So that's rough.
Wow. And Braden had campaigned for you to be replaced by Sarah. So it's just me left.
Yeah, I guess it's just Trey and Sarah on the podcast. But we'll do one more with all three of us. One more with all three bros. But yeah, so that's that. You can also find us on Podcast One now as well. So
yeah,
we're everywhere.
On our way to big things.
Yep. Okay, Ryan, why don't you update us on the bracket pool?
Yeah, the bracket pool. All right. Well, congratulations are in order to rday441. That's I didn't know Ryan Day was a listener of the podcast. But
yeah,
that's
wow,
pretty sweet. Awesome. He finished in a tie for first place with none other than Michael, but he actually won the tiebreaker for the total points scored in the national championship game. So he is your legitimate winner. So rday441, please send us your email to collegefootballbros at gmail.com and then send us your mailing address and which t-shirt size you'd like, and we'll send that t-shirt on over.
All right. Congratulations. Now we got some news and notes to get to. We haven't talked about a lot of news lately because there really hasn't been too much happening in the college football world, but let's catch up on some things. Ryan, what are two stories that caught your eye?
Yeah, all right. The first one was, this really caught my eye because of the colors, Pitt's new branding and their new uniforms. Mm-hmm. I actually kind of like them. They're really similar to the throwbacks they've worn. I feel like they've done it for the past few years. Numbers are a little different and they're kind of a little more modern, but different shade of blue, brighter yellow, a lot more pop. I think they're pretty cool. And then the logo is now like a panther head, which instead of just Pitt. So
I love the new branding. I love it.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think I'm liking it right now. So good job, Pitt.
It reminds me of everyone saying that the Chargers should wear the powder blue uniforms as their permanent uniforms.
Right.
I feel like people have been saying that about these Pitt throwbacks, and then they did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just tweaked it a little bit to be more modern.
Yeah, I love the blue face mask that pops.
Yeah, they catch your eye, that's for sure. All right, then the next news I have here is a big one. Mackenzie Milton said he's aiming for a return in 2020, and that would be so awesome if he did. Apparently, about half of the people that had the injury he had have to have their leg amputated. So,
wow.
I mean, it would be incredible if he was able to come back and play. And so everybody, I'm sure, is rooting for him, and it would just be awesome to see him suit up again.
Absolutely. It's too bad that happened. Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah.
But, all right, some other news. I have a couple transfers to talk about. First, wide receiver Weston Carr from Azusa Pacific grad transfers to Penn State. This is obviously important for Penn State since they lost Juwan Johnson to Oregon. So they were a little bit thin at receiver.
Yep.
But, you know, what's interesting about this one is generally you only hear about the smaller FBS school players transferring to the bigger schools. But this is totally different in the fact that this is kind of a low Division II all the way to a school like Penn State transfer. That's
that's quite the jump.
Azusa Pacific, that's where I got my teaching credential from, actually.
That's there you go.
All right. Yeah. Can you give us a scouting report on Weston Carr, Ryan?
His brother played at Northwestern, and he was actually a good receiver there. But that's all I know.
All right, that's better than I thought you'd do with that question.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. But he was the stat maker at Azusa. I don't know what that means, but he had over 100 receptions, 2,000 yards, and 27 touchdowns in the last 2 years. So he has a lot of production, so we'll see if it translates a little bit at Penn State. Yep. Then number two, another receiver, Eric Kuma, transferring from Virginia Tech to Old Dominion.
If you can't beat him, join him.
Yeah, kind of ironic, yep. Considering, yeah, he's going to the school that pulled off one of the shockers last year against his old Hokie team. So he was the Hokies' second leading receiver last year. So you got to think it's a pretty good get for Old Dominion.
Yeah, Virginia Tech has just lost so many guys over the last couple years, but
they really have.
I guess that's part of the Fuente transition.
And then finally, in terms of another quarterback being immediately eligible, Jack Tuttle has been cleared at Indiana. You know, this could be one of the more kind of intriguing battles, maybe going into fall. I mean, for sure this summer and early fall, the incumbent Ramsey is going to be the quarterback, and he's no slouch. But Tuttle's a former four-star. He transferred from Utah. He's a redshirt freshman. He's going to be he'll be a legit backup option. So anytime Ramsey begins to struggle, they'll have a guy that they might be able to rely on.
Yeah, I think they'll probably both play at times. I mean, Ramsey's got a little bit more of the mobility, so they bring kind of different things to the table.
All right, a couple bits of news from me. Some injury news that I want to get to at two schools. The first is Michigan. They've had quite a bit of injuries. So on defense, Michael Dwumfor, who should start on the D-line if healthy, is still dealing with a lingering plantar fascia injury from before the bowl game. And Harbaugh had some comments that had some people...
Not encouraging.
No. Dwumfor came out on Twitter and said, you know, he's going to be fine, and he's actually been a limited participant in practice, so hopefully he'll be all good. Cornerback Lavert Hill had an unspecified procedure and is out right now, so he's obviously one of the best players on that defense, so something to watch out for there. And then on offense, Donovan Peoples-Jones at receivers had a lingering groin injury. Wide receiver Nico Collins is recovering from an unspecified surgery, so two of the more important pieces on that offense. And then at running back, it's crazy. Everyone is hurt. They've had five running backs dealing with injuries. Of course, with Caron Higdon graduating, Chris Evans currently not on the team, that's definitely a position of need there. So True Wilson right now, who should be a good option, is still healthy, thankfully.
Well, it's a good thing the season doesn't start for several months.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. But OU is another school that just had a couple injuries. The big one, senior linebacker Caleb Kelly, who was expected to be one of their best defenders, tore his ACL in practice. So that's a rough one there. Another torn ACL by Jordan Kelly, redshirt freshman defensive lineman, who was expected to provide depth. So not good for a defense that really can't afford to lose personnel.
Yeah, tough on Alex Grinch right out of the gate.
All right, last piece of news here is interesting and surprising. Tommy Tuberville is running for senator in the state of Alabama, and he's hired Sean Spicer to his campaign. So college football world meeting the political world.
Yeah, Tommy Tuberville is a very, very strong Republican.
Yeah, well, that's in Alabama. That seems like a good thing.
Yep, makes sense.
Okay, that's the bros delving into politics.
Hey, well, TCU canceled their spring game, so.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That was one more thing that I had. Just they didn't have enough depth to have a game. So
that's not great.
Apparently, of like their 85 scholarships, they had like about half. They were saying so. Can't really have a game.
Yep. Wait a sec, Ryan. You didn't give me a chance to say my joke that I totally didn't script before about Tommy Tuberville.
Excuse me, sorry.
That news really came out of left field. Or should I say right field?
Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Great one, Mike.
That was off the cuff, actually, too. So.
Wow.
All right, well, should we move on to spring games?
Let's do it.
Okay. I will start. So there was I guess I should preface this. There were a lot of spring games this past weekend, so we've got some observations from those. I will start with two freshman defensive ends. The first one, George Karlaftis from Purdue, top 100 recruit, huge recruit for Purdue. He's actually from West Lafayette. He had a few tackles and a sack, so solid day for him.
He should be good.
Yeah, he should be. And then the other that should be great, Drake Jackson for USC, who had a sack and a one-handed pick six in the spring practice, really more of a practice than a game. And Clay Helton said he reminds him of a young Leonard Williams.
High praise.
All right. Well, in Clay we trust.
Yeah, exactly. And Clay, that is a guy who knows talent, let me tell you.
Yeah.
My other observation was at Clemson, sophomore Darian Kendrick, not really sure what position to call him. He was a wide receiver last year, but in this spring game, he played slot receiver, cornerback, returned kicks, and punts. So he can kind of do it all. So he's another guy to watch out for.
All right. Sounds good. All righty. Let's see. My first spring game that I noticed here was I have LSU. The big thing out of this game was LSU was in the shotgun the whole time. They were running a no-huddle spread attack. So pretty weird for LSU to do that, especially under Eddie O. So that's going to be interesting to see how that comes to fruition in the fall with Joe Burrow.
But I like it. I like it.
I like it. Yeah, I think a lot of LSU fans probably like it. And then Florida State is my other squad. Clearly not a whole lot of excitement down there in Tallahassee. They had about half of as many people as they did as last year's spring game, which you expected a little bit of a dip. It's not the first year of Taggart, but this was like a drastic drop. And the game was not good. The offensive lines were horrible on both sides. They gave up 5 sacks. They had a few bad snaps and then a few penalties. And that was just in one half. So same old, same old. So I'm not expecting a huge turnaround in year two for Taggart, but it's a spring game, but still not a good look.
Yeah, the offensive line is definitely the major issue on that team. So not good to hear.
And I'm going to touch on South Carolina. The Gamecocks, they keep finding a way to rope me back into liking them.
You said you were done with...
This has nothing to do with me probably jumping on their wagon, at least not yet. But this, in their spring game, they had a viral moment that people may have seen, where at the end of the first half, their walk-on junior kicker, Parker White, kicked a field goal, and right after making it, they stopped play. The whole team looks up at the Jumbotron, and he was awarded a scholarship. These teams keep finding unique ways to do it, and I like pretty much all these videos. They're cool to see.
Yeah.
And also in the spring game for fun, Deebo Samuel caught a touchdown pass, even though he's preparing for the NFL draft later this month.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Weird.
Well, before we get to the Would You Rather, which I know everyone's waiting for, I have a Play Index trivia for you guys.
Oh, yes.
Ooh, I didn't know that. Okay, cool.
Usually we go positive with these trivia questions. I'm going negative. So using the Play Index at College Sports Reference, I found the top 5 leaders in career interceptions thrown since 2000.
Timmy Chang.
Ryan, very, very good.
Wow.
Timmy Chang. Well, we'll get to that later, actually.
Okay.
So, right. So I actually just did the top 5, though, Power 5 quarterbacks.
Oh, all right.
So I will name the years that they played and the school, and you have to give me the player.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Number 5 is Oklahoma, 2009 to 2012.
Landry Jones.
Okay. I just needed the full name, Ryan.
We've learned our lesson from previous episodes on that Oklahoma gap.
He's the answer to a lot of trivia questions. So... Yes, he had 52 career interceptions.
I was going to say,
but
these names are going to be names that are probably pretty good quarterbacks because they played a lot, you know?
Well, for the most part, but there's a couple that are not good. Number 4 is Rutgers, 2002 to 2005. This is a tough one.
Oh.
Is that that's pre-Mike Teal.
Yeah, he's probably right after that, huh?
Rutgers.
You guys can give up if you want. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I give up.
Not going to get it unless... Yeah.
I still got to give you the buzzer. Ryan Hart. So he also had 52 interceptions. And I've got a bonus one here. This isn't number 3, but it's like 3.5 because another Rutgers player had 53 career interceptions, but he only played 2 years at Rutgers. And then he played the rest of his career at Western Michigan. So I just didn't count him, but Rutgers was on this list twice, so congrats.
Yeah, poor Rutgers.
Poor Rutgers. And actually, Art Sitkowski narrowly missed this list.
Well, he's on his way.
Yeah.
Number three, Oregon State, 2011 to 2014.
That's Sean Mannion? All right.
Nicely done.
Yeah. So there's a good quarterback, Sean Mannion. Yeah. He had 54 interceptions. Number two, which I am shocked he's not number one, Georgia Tech, 2003 to 2006.
Was it Reggie Ball?
Of course.
Very good.
Of course it was Reggie Ball.
Wow.
Man, he just...
Boy, throwing it up to Calvin.
I know. He had Calvin Johnson.
He was so athletic, but man, he just did not have the touch.
He did not. He did not. Okay, we are to number one on the list. And again, we have Oregon State, this time from 2001 to 2004.
Derek Anderson.
Ooh. Nice. Ooh.
You guys did really, really well.
All right.
Good job. And Ryan, you even named, I'm going to get to here, the top G5 guys. I've got the, so number one on the list, yeah, from Hawaii, 2000 to 2004, Timmy Chang.
That's crazy, like, because he threw a ton of touchdowns, obviously, but he was like all or nothing.
Kind
of
like Favre.
He was like, yeah, Favre, Cy Young with strikeouts and walks. Yep. Anyway, he had 80 interceptions.
Wow.
Guess what number two on the list, how many interceptions he had?
64.
What the?
Oh my gosh.
What the heck? How are you know this?
Wow.
I don't. That was a total lucky guess right there.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, now, can you guess the player without me even giving you the school?
Shoot. Second.
No, I'll just give you the school. I'll give you the school. UTEP.
Oh, is it Jordan Palmer?
Ooh, oh my gosh.
Man.
All right. I am very impressed. Well done, you guys. Really well done, Ryan. I mean, Ryan killed it there.
Yeah, wow. Crazy.
It's time for the feature of this podcast. Would you rather? Self-explanatory. Ryan, you go first.
Sure. All right. So if you were a player, would you rather win the Heisman or a national championship?
So I think this one might be easy, but I'd rather win the Heisman, and I'm not trying
You're
to be so
selfish.
You are selfish.
I'm not trying to be selfish, but
well, it sounds like you are.
No doubt winning the title would be fun and rewarding, but having your name be mentioned as a Heisman winner forever, it's unique. Not many obviously get that opportunity. And not to mention it's an amazing legacy and perhaps the most famous award in all of sports.
Yeah.
Maybe if you ask like the MVP of the national championship, I start to think a little more.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there, but I'm actually a team player, okay? And so, no, I'm just kidding. I'm going with the Heisman, too. I would rather. Hey, there's only 80 guys that have won the Heisman, and there's like thousands that have won a national championship, so.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. There's a ton of guys you haven't heard of that won a national title, so Heisman is the answer here, if you want the... I mean, you're going to be living infamy. You'll be remembered forever.
Not infamy, hopefully, unless you're OJ.
but look at it now. Would you like, let's say Vince Young. So, if you said Vince Young, you could go back and you could have the Heisman, but lose to USC in the Rose Bowl.
No, in that case, I see what you're saying. If you have it, I would rather. If I was Vince Young, I'd keep the championship
just because everyone knows it was him.
Yeah, that's true.
And he had the game-winning play, and that play will be remembered as much as a Heisman winner would. So
yeah.
All right, so there's a circumstance where it would change.
Yeah. If you guys had a Heisman trophy, where would you keep it?
Wow.
I don't know.
In the mantle?
Yeah, the mantle on the fireplace, if you got one.
I don't know if it'd fit up there. You got to have quite a fireplace.
No, well.
Yeah, that's true.
But I would keep it
maybe just on my I might just have it on my coffee table.
Yeah.
Just for always there.
That's a good one.
Why not? You always hear guys saying like, oh, I don't even know where it is. And it's like, what's wrong with you? You got to display that thing. Okay. Trey, you got a would you rather for us?
Yeah. Would you rather have an amazing offense or an amazing defense?
Okay. I thought a lot about this one. I'm going both.
Oh my gosh.
Sure.
I'm going offense because it's more fun to watch. I kind of saw this question as would you rather cheer for Oklahoma or like an LSU? I know LSU's offense isn't that bad, but I'm taking Oklahoma every time there. It's just, it's fun to watch offense.
Yeah, I you know, it's tough to say, but I think I'd also choose the offense. It is more fun to watch. And then you just feel like you have a chance. Even if you're losing, you feel like you have a chance. Whereas if you have a terrible offense and you're down, or and you're down like 10 or something, you're like, ugh,
yeah,
you have no shot here. So you always feel like you're in it.
I'm going to go the other way, a bit old school. I'm going to lean to the amazing defense. I've had fun over the years watching some of the teams that I've followed have a great defense. And but, you know, and then like look at the Big 12 the last few years, you know, the Texas Techs, the West Virginias, even the Oklahomas, like, yeah, they score, but they know, like, as soon as they give it up, it's just like, oh my gosh, they're going to score on us.
Yeah.
I mean, you can look at it either way, but I'll lean to the defense.
I'd rather watch Oklahoma, West Virginia than the Cheez-It Bowl. That's just me.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Yeah.
No, that was unfair. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay, I have a question for you guys. Just stay with me here. It's a long one. So would you rather be a fan of a team that wins one national title every 15 years, but wins a maximum of 7 games every other year, or be a fan of a team that wins no national titles ever, but wins at least 10 games every year? And the caveat here is you don't know before, you know, what's going to happen, of course. I'm basically asking which would make you happier if it happened.
I got to go with the national titles, because that's just what you're playing for. It made me think of like the Hawks from like 10 years ago with Josh Smith and Joe Johnson. Like, they were always really good, or, well, pretty good. But it's like, they never had a chance to win it all. So it's like, who cares? Like, the whole season was just like, yeah, we're good, but we're going to lose. So why do we care? So I at least want to have a chance. So I would say, give me the national titles and I'll live through the 7 win seasons otherwise.
I'm going the other way. I'd want to be a fan of the team that, even though they don't win national titles, if they win double digit games every year, you know, you're in the hunt for the playoff or the conference, yep, in your conference championship. It would lead to some heartbreak, obviously, but you'd always be relevant, have great players to root for, and it would just make, over the course of a long period, every season fun.
Yeah, you think every year, you think this is the year, because you're always good, you know, and you don't know, like in this hypothetical, you don't know that you're not going to win.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough, guys. Alrighty. So the next one here, would you rather only be able to watch college football on a 28-inch television for the rest of your life, or be able to watch on any size TV, but it has to be muted?
All right. This is definitely a tough question.
I think I know what you're going to say.
What do you think I'm going to say?
Big screen TV.
I'm going big screen TV.
You just have to have a big screen TV.
I have to have a big screen TV. I mean... Yeah. Though, maybe it's the wrong decision, because hearing the crowd, hearing the hits, even the analysis of who's making what play, I think is a bigger part of watching a game than we think. But, I don't know, 28-inch TV, I can't do it.
I mean, just sit close.
I know. Is that basically the same thing? Just sit closer?
Just sit close.
It's not the same. It's not the same.
Maybe, Michael, you make a good point. Maybe it is more important than you think. But it's fun for me to hear the stadium and the crowd noise. But, you know, we're spoiled with the bigger TVs nowadays, and so I'd sacrifice the volume and I'd go with that larger TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, larger TV, and then I'd get the sound going on the computer.
No, you can't do that. Come on, Ryan.
No.
You can't do that. I thought for sure that when I saw this question, I thought one of you was going to be like, well, I'll just turn on the radio. And it's like, no, you can't turn on the radio either, all right? Don't fight the hypothetical. Well,
didn't make that clear.
Well... was
my question.
You're the one who asked the question.
Next one. Would you rather have the 5th ranked recruiting class every year and have former Kansas head coach David Beattie as your head coach, or have the 20th ranked recruiting class every year and have Chris Peterson as your head coach?
Yeah, this is a very good question, but ultimately I said I want the 5th ranked recruiting class and David Beattie as my coach. I mean, 5 to 20 is a pretty large gap, you know, and if you're going to win anything big, 20, you're not, I mean, if you want a national title or anything like that, 20 is not going to get it done.
Yeah, pretty unlikely.
David Beattie, while he obviously did not do very well. By the way,
is it Beattie, Beattie? I probably should have learned while he was head coach. I always said...
Yeah, well, it's Kansas, but yeah.
Yeah, either way, whatever.
Kansas football, yeah.
It's fine. Call him Dave.
Dave, yeah, Dave from Lawrence. yeah, he. But if he was given the top five recruiting class, who knows what he could do?
Yeah.
So I got to at least give myself a shot. So I'm taking that.
I agree with you. I'm taking the talent. I think the sort of break-even point is maybe if it was like the 11th.
Yeah, that's
ranked class. I know it's a random number, but then maybe I'd choose Peterson with the 20th, but 5th. Like you said, that's national championship caliber roster. So, and like with Chris Peterson, we sort of have a good example. In 2016, when Washington made the playoff, they were 24th in 24/7 Sports team talent rankings, and you know they really didn't stand much of a chance.
No, in that exactly. Playoff.
They were out athleted. So,
I did a little research for this one.
Okay, so, wow, this is the only one of the episode you did some research for.
No. More so in depth than this one. This is hard hitting analysis right here. So,
all right.
I looked back at the national champ, all the national championship teams since 2008, all the winners. And if you look back at the 4 years of recruiting classes that make those teams up, mm-hmm. those are the, so they're each of the winners, their four recruiting classes that make them up.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one team since 08 that's had a class worse than 16th.
Can I make a guess?
Auburn. Oh, sorry.
I bet it was Auburn.
Yeah,
it was
very Auburn. Good. Auburn in 2010. But listen, so they had this in their 4 years, they had the 6th, the 23rd, the 21st, and the 9th ranked recruiting classes. But then they obviously had a freak talent at quarterback in Cam Newton.
Yeah, so exactly.
I would go with the talent as well. That's my kind of long-winded answer. But it is pretty amazing that all the champs, the worst outside of Auburn, the worst recruiting class was 16th.
That is crazy. And even making it to the playoff, it's rare. I mean, you'll have your Michigan State make it. And like I said, UW, but those are kind of the exceptions.
Yep.
Okay. Next question for me is, would you rather be able to watch college football and no other sports, or be able to watch every sport except college football? I'm sorry for torturing you guys with this question.
No, this is by far the toughest would you rather out there.
Agreed.
I could live without baseball, probably the NBA as well. But to me, losing the NFL, college hoops, golf, and myself horse racing, I don't know if I could do that. I mean, yeah. I never thought I would not watch college football in a scenario. God, it doesn't even sound right saying, but maybe I can't do that. It's so tough.
Trey, you're going to lose a lot of street cred with our audience if you give up college football.
I'm like waffling.
It's okay. It's just a hypothetical, Trey. You don't have to actually stop watching.
I know. It's not a real choice.
Well, if it'll make it easier for you, Trey, it's super tough, but I would have to give up college football. Like, I can't just go.
No, I think I'm definitely probably 60-40 that side.
Yeah, you can't. I can't go 8 months with no sports. Like, all the sports you mentioned, Trey, like March Madness, the Masters. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
It'd be hard.
Yeah. It's so hard to give it up, but it'd be the right move, you know? So.
To give up all the other sports?
No, to give up college football.
Oh, okay. If you did give up all the other sports, what would you do? Like, what would you do with your time?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's like,
that's a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, because at least if you give up college football, you have the NFL the whole season. It's not like you're losing any.
Yeah.
Got to find a new hobby.
We'd podcast about, like, man, who knows what.
Yep, tough question there. Okay, guys, our last would you rather here. If your team gets a big win against a top team and you're at the game in the crowd, would you rather it be a home game or on the road?
So, Ryan, the fact that you think that these are two evenly matched options makes me think you are a huge jerk who just wow. You just like to rub losses in other people's faces, because why would I rather be on the road? I want to be at home with all my fellow fans. We're all cheering. It's fun. It's a happy atmosphere. I don't want to be in between a bunch of opposing fans, because I'm non-confrontational, Ryan.
But I love the to taste your tears, you know, like, oh yeah.
And to see, yeah, that's pretty messed up. That's pretty messed up.
I'm a little indifferent on this. Because we've experienced both sides of this. But I'm gonna lean to the home game, just because it's fun to see the whole, when you're when you win a big game, especially like in big moments during the game, it's fun to see the whole stadium go wild. Mm-hmm. And you just to look at the whole crowd reaction. And then after the game, it's fun to walk out in a fun, enthused environment.
Yeah, I'm going to just go with the road one. Yeah,
yeah, of course you are.
It's more, a little more satisfying getting a nice big win on the road. And it's like, yeah, we did it, you know, came into your place and took you down. So, mm-hmm.
So are you like cheering as you're walking out the exits and everything? Are
no,
you?
No, I mean, I'm gonna be polite and courteous, but I'm gonna okay. be smiling on the inside and just be like, yeah,
just a little smirk.
That's nice.
That's pretty messed up.
it's cool to win on the road, man.
Okay, last thing we have here is a top five list from Ryan.
Yeah, we got a top five list.
You sound like you have to make one up right now.
Ryan's going to make this up on the spot. He's like, yeah, I forgot.
No, just locating my notes here.
Top five fingers. Yeah. My thumb.
Top five moments in my life.
Is that really?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. Top five national championship games.
Ooh, all right.
In honor of the national championship basketball game here. But number five. The 2017 National Championship game between Bama and Georgia. This, of course, was the one where Tua came in to be the savior, led Bama to an overtime win. That was just an incredible game. Great storyline wow. there.
I don't even remember that one. That's cool.
Yeah, sure. Number four is the 2002 National Championship between Ohio State and Miami. This game is remembered for its very questionable pass interference call that kind of helped Ohio State pull off the upset in double overtime. But, I mean, it was a great game nonetheless. And, you know, Miami was like 11.5-point favorites there. So it was quite the upset.
Yeah.
Number three, the 1983 National Championship between Miami and Nebraska. Nebraska, this is the one where they went for two to try to go for the win. And they just came up short. So that was, I'm just going to say that I'm incredibly glad I wasn't alive to see that.
Yeah, our dad still hasn't quite recovered from that one.
Yeah, that's so rough. But, you know, good on the coach for being aggressive.
And you said 83, right?
Yeah, the 83 year. I mean, it was the 84 Orange Bowl, but I'm just going with the years of this. All right. And then number two. We have the 2016 National Championship between Bama and Clemson. This was the one when Clemson won. Deshaun Watson hit Hunter Renfrow with 1 second left on the clock for the game-winning touchdown. And it was just like, I mean, Clemson was obviously super good, but it was almost like a David and Goliath. He felt like, I mean, Clemson was the underdog, so that was awesome for Clemson to punch through and just an amazing game.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess the David and Goliath factor, but man, that Bama Georgia game that was just as good.
Yeah, scoring with 1 second left, and you know it is the underdog thing. I don't know. To me that was a bigger game, and it was like just more exciting for some reason.
It's Ryan's list, Michael.
I'm sorry.
It's my list. Yeah.
I'll shut up.
Good idea. All right, number one, USC Texas, 2005 season. Texas, of course, won on Vince Young's last run, and I'll just say this: I'm incredibly glad Michael was not a USC fan yet.
Me too.
Not sure where Michael would have gone after that one.
Man, I would have probably given up college football and been watching every other sport. That's
wouldn't
what
be
happened.
College football bros right now.
No. All right, so, that was a great list.
Yeah,
the number one.
I was looking at the list, and there's so many good games. It's hard to leave some off, but. Some good ones.
I think number one, though, you can't debate that.
No.
Yeah, you're right. Number one is pretty much everybody agrees.
And I guess they didn't have, I just was going to say, all those are recent, but that's because they didn't technically have national championships until.
Yeah, I mean, I put 1983 in there, but it was like one versus two if it ended up, but.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening to the College Football Bros podcast. If you like the show, be sure to leave us a review in your podcast app. And guys, to end the show, I have a little surprise for you. I thought we'd welcome an old friend.
Oh, no.
Can you guess?
Beth.
No, not Beth.
Oh.
Bruce. Bruce
Feldman. Oh, man. Wow. Bruce.
Bruce, what do you have to say?
It is a butter soft bamboo comfort design from top to bottom. And when I heard that, I was like, really? What is this going to feel like? And it does feel very, very comfortable.
Thank you, Bruce.
I didn't realize it was going to be a new one.
It was a new, that was a new one.
That's what I said. I didn't realize it was going to be a new one.
Oh, I thought, yeah, it sounds very similar to the last one. Should I just empty the holster on Bruce clips I have?
No, let this save them.
Are you sure? I really want to press it right now. Can I just one more?
All right, fine. One more.
You name it, shampoo, conditioner, body wash, toothpaste, hair gel, even a wipe that leaves your tush feeling tingly.
Bruce.
We'll end it with that. Wise words, Bruce. And we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to the College Football Bros. If you have any questions for the next podcast, email them to collegefootballbros@gmail.com. To keep up with the brothers on social media, like them on Facebook at College Football Bros, follow them on Instagram at College Football Bros, and for their commentary on Saturdays, follow them on Twitter at CFB Bros. Thanks for listening.